But as promised, we are joined right now by an all-star, a second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds, one of only three players with at least 50 home runs and 189 RBI in his first two seasons with the Reds. First player in franchise history to reach those numbers in his first two seasons while also hitting at least 300. Only player in Major League history to produce five hits, four home runs, and 10 RBI in the same game. Joins Lou Gehrig as the only players in Major League history with four grand slams and a four-homer game in the same season. And the Reds open up their year against Pittsburgh on March 28th. Schooner Jeanette is my guest. Scooter, it is so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing good. What an introduction that is. Dude, Sam, thank you.
Dude, your resume is unbelievable, I got to say. So, Scooter, we're about 10 days out from the season opener. How has camp gone for you so far? Are you ready to start playing meaningful games right now, or maybe is there still a little work to be done?
I'm ready. I think the more, just every spring training, I get ready faster. I think this year, after about my 15th at-bat, 20th at-bat, I was ready to go. Can't wait to get the season started.
I see you working. Now, the team itself has made a lot of moves in the offseason, including the arrival of a new manager in David Bell. You've also got Matt Kemp, Yasiel Puig, Alex Woods, Sonny Gray. The list goes on. How would you describe the vibe and the mood in camp this year?
It's great. I think the biggest thing is that the front office, they expect us to win, which we as players, we always expect to win. We think we can win on any given day with whatever team we have. But now that the front office is expecting us to win, it just seems more real. To where both sides are, have the same thought. So, with that's different from the past couple years, which is good. But all the new players, the new coaches, everybody's energy's good, the vibe's good. I think that we're gonna really surprise some people, and with our lineup and with Sonny Gray and Rourke and Wood, being pretty much our top three guys. If they do what they're supposed to, man, I mean we're gonna be scary. I don't think people are gonna want to see us come into the town.
Red second baseman Scooter Jeanette joining us. And then you've got Yasiel Puig, Scooter, who we had here in Los Angeles for a number of years. He really is a fascinating guy. What's it been like having him around? What's he bring to your clubhouse?
Oh, man. We could talk all day about that.
I got lots of time.
I would say he's a lot of fun. He enjoys himself out in the field, which that's how he he's got to enjoy himself to be at the top of his game. So, he'll do some stuff out there that you've never seen before on the field. And it kind of like, wow, like what just happened right there. But then, he'll pick up the ball and throw a guy out, 300 feet away, or he'll come up and hit a grand slam. And it's just like, well, it is, that's him. It's kind of like the, Manny being Manny, in that time. It's very similar, but he's a good guy. He's smart. Just getting to know him. He cares about the team. He cares about his preparation. So, all in all, he's been great. But we got to see, when we go through some ups and downs as a team, how guys respond. And, that's when you really can tell, how people are.
I think that's right. I think that's fair. Scooter Jeanette joining us. So now you rolled to camp last year in an RV. Take me back. How was that trip? And then how did you make the journey this year?
Oh, it was last year we were in a Cruise America RV, which they were so nice to let us loan one for the trip over. Unfortunately, I did all the driving on my own. My wife and our dog, Leo, were relaxing pretty much for the whole trip while I drove, but that's kind of my duty as the husband. Just another thing that we're expected to do. But this year we met a bus driver at the Homestead race, the NASCAR race in Homestead this year, and it was Elliott Sadler's bus driver for for a long time, and Elliott Sadler retired this past year, so the bus and the bus driver weren't doing much. So I told him, you know, maybe in February I'll hit you up and see what your plans are. And sure enough, he was ready to go. And his name was Will. He's a good old country dude. A lot of one-liners. Just a great guy. It was a lot of fun. I didn't have to drive at all, and we had satellite TV and internet. So I mean, it was a lot better than doing all the driving on my own. That's for sure.
Better. It sounds like the best roadie ever. That sounds like a blast. Hey, listen, I'm glad you mentioned I'm glad you mentioned NASCAR, Scooter, because as long as we're talking about NASCAR and wheels, you're a huge Dale Earnhardt guy. What was it about the Intimidator that you liked so much, respected so much?
Oh, man. You know, I saw a lot, even as a young, I want to say 12 when he passed, something like that. But I started following him probably when I was about 8, I would say. I started getting old enough to see some similarities, actually, between him and myself in a sense of how he raced and how I played the game and kind of how my dad groomed me to play the game, which is hard. And, you know, when that ball's hit, my only thought's to catch it, make the play. It's not, okay, where's the wall, or okay, where, you know, it's make the play. And I think that's how he raced. He raced to win every time. And another thing, too, that really kind of, you know, got me on the whole Dale bandwagon there is how intimidating. Everyone was scared of him, you know, at the track. But as soon as the race was over, you could just tell it was like, this is the real, you know, the real Dale, the Dale that's going back home. Everyone that that I've spoken to now, I mean, kind of confirmed that he was just such a great guy off the track. But once those shades came on and he put those Nikes on, it was the Intimidator. And I always liked that. I thought that was really interesting and cool. You know, that he kind of had two different personas. And like myself, I had Scooter and Ryan. So there was another similarity there too, but yeah, man, Dale's the best.
Scooter Jeanette joining us, and Junior's just like that as well. Junior's an unbelievable guy off the track. Good guy on the track, yep, of course, but really unbelievable guy off the track. You know, it's this point that you're making right now, Scooter. For instance, back in February, you were at a middle school in Sarasota, Florida, and you were talking to students there about emotions and times where maybe you felt alone or down. It's part of a larger project that you're involved with. But if we start with that middle school conversation, there were a lot of things that you might be doing in your free time. Why was that something that you wanted to do?
Well, I think, you know, really, I like to call it, you know, mental health. You know, the mental health thing, people are kind of like, whoa, you know. I think it's more, it's mental health. It's how do we help each other? And I think the biggest thing is just sharing, you know, connecting with somebody and just communicating with them, like, really what's going on, whether it's something good or something not so good. I just think nowadays with all the social media and all the other stuff, it's like people put this mask on that, oh, everything's fine. You know, it's not cool to talk about certain things like religion and politics and, you know, money. And, you know, these are things that we're kind of in our culture and our society wired not to talk about. And I don't understand why, because how are we supposed to learn from each other if we're not talking about those things that are pretty important stuff? You know, we talk about sports, we wear our favorite team's hats, and, you know, people are like, oh, they suck. And you're like, no, your team sucks. And like, but that's, you know, that's fine. And it's like, why can't we talk about, you know, all the other stuff like that? And I think it really hits every area, you know, emotions, maybe what the home life's like. And I just encourage the kids to, you know, if they feel like they can't talk to anybody, like that's one of the most important times probably to find somebody to talk to and use their resources, their guidance counselor, their teacher. And when it comes to the bullying stuff, I tell them, you know, you see some bullying going on and you don't do anything about it, you know, really, ultimately, there's no difference between you and the bully, other than you're not maybe throwing a punch or tweeting something. And also on the flip side of that, to to, you know, feel bad for that bully, try to help that bully, you know, because obviously if they're bullying people, then they're probably going home to a rough situation. So I kind of just try to teach them those kind of things. And really the biggest thing, Jim, is letting them know that everyone's dealing with something. You know, even me as a professional athlete, I have issues that I have to deal with on off the field. And I think everyone does. And it's weird because, like, everyone, when I have those conversations, the teachers are like, oh, thank you so much. And, you know, and like, we understood exactly what you were saying. And it's like, well, why aren't we saying it? Why aren't we talking about it more as a society? And really, I mean, it's, if I can help a couple kids, you know, it's worth it for me. But ultimately, all I'm trying to do now is just talk to the people that I can, you know, communicate with, and that's my teammates, my family, my friends, and just encourage them, you know, even as my buddy makes t-shirts, and even, you know, for him, he can impact a lot of people in all different ways. So just really encouraging people to step out of the normal and do something to help somebody.
Reds second baseman Scooter Jeanette joining us. I mean, that's an amazing thing to say right there. In terms of the t-shirts, it's part of a larger project, actually. And there's a shirt that will be sold that simply reads, "Say hello." Now, I know you've kind of touched on this, but what's the thinking behind that? And what is the message you want to put out there with that shirt?
Yeah, like you said, Sid, says, "Say hello." It's going to be in Reds colors to start out. They're going to try to hit the Reds Nation with it. Really, the idea is it could be something as simple as just saying hello to somebody and, you know, asking them how their day is, and, you know if they want to talk about something. But, you know, that's kind of what I do on a daily basis, whether it's at the grocery store or wherever I might be. If I notice somebody, whether it's – I like to – there's older ladies, a lot of older ladies in Sarasota where I'm from in the off season, and older men as well, but it seems like at the mall and stuff, there's a lot of older women, and I just love saying stuff like, oh, you look great today, and it's like, at first, they're kind of caught off guard, like, that's not normal to say, but then they smile and say thank you, and they walk away, and it just makes me feel like, it makes me feel good that I might have just brought a smile to some lady's day, and who knows, maybe no one's talking to her for a while, or whatever the case may be. It could be something so simple as just saying hi to somebody and encouraging people to do that, not only as athletes, but, you know, as any citizen.
Scooter, if somebody wants to buy that shirt, how would they go about getting it?
Athletes Brand is the you can find them on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, I'm pretty sure all of it, but they're the ones that are going to be making the shirts and distributing them, selling them. I think the main goal is to, I don't have like a foundation or anything yet. I think that we're still trying to find one that fits the best with what we're trying to do. And, you know, hopefully create some type of movement or campaign to where, and there's some foundations that are doing that. The Goldie Hawn Foundation, she does a really good job at creating programs in schools that gets the kids to learn about, you know, certain emotions and how to deal with them. But really, my end goal is putting enough pressure or create enough awareness on the school systems to implement a class that you could just call life. And that's where basically the kids' attendance is their grade, and they can participate in certain conversations, but yet they're sitting in, and that's when you have your guest speakers come in and you show your movies like the Green Mile and, you know, that kind of stuff to really kind of get these kids, like, you know, ready for, you know, life and what's in store for them after school. And I think that's something that I missed out on and something that I wish I had learned, you know, before I got drafted or whatever. And you know, really just learn more about yourself, learn more about other people. And that's the end goal. So they're, like, I don't want any money. I mean, the Athletes Brand, they need to sell the shirts and they can make more shirts. And ultimately, there's going to be money going to some foundation, but it might cost some money to create some type of movement like that. So, you know, who knows?
Spreading the message. He is a second baseman for the Cincinnati Reds. He is an all-star, and the Reds have a very different look this year. And as he says, they're going to be scary to deal with. Scooter, it's great talking baseball with you. It's great talking life with you. It's always good to have you on this show, and I hope we can do it again soon. That was really good stuff.
Absolutely, Jim. Thanks for having me on, man.
I appreciate you, Scooter. Nice to have you back. Scooter Jeanette. I've already got the bobble. Now I need that shirt. I like that. Say hello.